What's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays? Decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa? Got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments? Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels? Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit Wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
Got to talk about one of the best reality TV shows to hit our television streaming screens in a while. I'm talking about The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives, a show that strayed from the format of the Real Housewives franchise and other similar programming, and focuses on people who talk about praying and going to church and reading the Bible. I welcome this. There aren't enough shows that really show what it's like to walk in faith and be married and have your kids when you're like 18 to 20 years old. It's crazy. So season three, and one of the things that I love about The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives is every single season, we got a different intro, and season three straight cleared the intro of season one and season two. So at the very beginning of the intro for season three, we see Jen's bouncing titties as she's walking. Them natural boobs is sitting and bouncing to let you know she is a young, fertile Myrtle, to remind us that the women on The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives are young, fertile Myrtles who can't stop getting knocked up. So we see them bouncing titties and we hear the theme song. This theme song for The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives is so good that one day I looked it up on Spotify and I had that shit on repeat because I was like, this song is a vibe. And what sucks so bad about that song is it's so incredibly short. Like, I want a 10 minute version of that shit. So we see Jen's bouncing boobs and we see her baby bum. And she's in a white dress. It's a low-cut dress. One of the things that is the most fascinating things about these Mormon wives is that they get their titties done. They get their hair done. They get their makeup done. They get their nails done. They dress sexy. They basically really do have a porn star aesthetic in many ways. With the blonde extensions, with the fake tits, the titties are always out, they wear sexy clothes. It's just so fascinating. But yet you can't drink, you can't smoke, but you could do ketamine. It's some weird shit. So we see the intro with Jen's bouncing boobs and her baby bump. And then we see Jesse and we see the other cast members. And then the music fades to reveal Whitney, to bring Whitney into the frame. The music drops. Unlike previous seasons where the song just plays strong throughout. And then we're seeing this fire, this flame of fire on the screen in between images of the cast. And then they all come out in blue dresses. And did you guys notice how, although we see Demi in the intro, Demi did not film the blue dress walking in unison scene. or a portion of the intro. And you know that was Demi. You know Demi was like, I don't want to film with these bitches. Like, you know it. I mean, I would love it if the girls' eyes threw out, but I feel like it was Demi. Like, okay, I'll do the intro, but I can't film with the other girls. Because I need to be making more money than those hoes. So anyways, I mean, I don't know. Maybe I need to get a life. Maybe I shouldn't be this excited. But I am. Like, I am this excited about the intro of this show. The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives is the only show that comes to mind where I do not fast forward past the intro. I am locked in. I am sat every single time. It's like I never get bored of it. I never get tired of it. And they are so done up and looking so sexy, so hot. Okay. So now let's get into the episode. We find out that Miss Taylor Frankie Paul is going on a 2-week mental health retreat and Dakota will be watching their son Ever. So we love this for her. And what I love about her doing this too is she was like, you know what? I need to go on this retreat while the show is filming so that everybody can know I'm not going to be the hot mess that I was in season 1 and season 2. So I think it was just a really good strategy. Don't tell us you're going on a retreat. Show us. So Taylor is going on this retreat. Dakota comes in. Dakota really upsets me. Every time I see him, I'm grossed out. I'm disgusted. The wheels. He always looks like the wheels are turning in his head upstairs every single time. Every single time. I've yet to see this man looks like or looking like he knows what the next word out of his mouth is going to be. Like, he just seems so painfully stupid to me. And I was listening to another person recap this, and they were saying how, like,
hey, what's up, y'all? Kelly Clarkson with Wayfair. My favorite thing about the holidays, decking out my whole house. It's not a competition, but if it was, well, I'd win the season with Wayfair. Outdoor inflatable Santa, got it on Wayfair. Trees, lights, and ornaments, Wayfair. Hosting must-haves like dining sets, beds, sheets, and towels, Wayfair. For everything in your style delivered with fast and free shipping, visit wayfair.com or the Wayfair app to win the season. But again, it's not a competition.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Ever has his own look? Absolutely not. Taylor Frankie Paul and Dakota's son. He takes after Taylor more. Dakota has gorgeous eyes, but of course the child got Taylor's eyes. But he's a mix of them both. You know, whatever. It's just kind of funny too. You see Dakota using a baby voice with him after Taylor shuts the door when they're going off to church. I do love how enthusiastic Dakota is about being a father. That is very cute. So anyways, Taylor says that she likes to go to church when she wants to go to church. I can understand that. I'm not mad at it. So then Taylor and Jen, they're both taking a break from filming the show. They're both like on a mental health break. So we see that the cast, they show all the women's faces, but you have Taylor taking a break. You have Jen taking a break. You have Whitney who quit. And you have Demi. So let's get to Whitney. Whitney said she would come back to film season 3, but she wanted to be given a role on a scripted TV show. Think about how long this show has existed. And for the third season, Whitney says, I'm not coming back until you give me a role on a scripted show. First, they said that Whitney said she wanted tickets to the Oscars and a role on a scripted show, but apparently she wanted a role on a scripted show. And as we find out later in the season, Whitney does return. So did she get a role on a scripted show? Actually, never mind. I know why she returned. I'll get to that when we get to her episode of her returning. So Whitney left Mom Talk because, you know, she wanted a scripted show and there was a rumor about her wanting Oscar tickets. And I don't know. It's fascinating. It's really fascinating. So then Michaela says that all her prayers have been answered. Michaela is hands down one of my absolute favorite Mom Talk bitches. I love her down. I love her down. Her vulnerability in past seasons about her skin condition, and she's been looking hot. She's been looking sexy in season 3. She really gives like a bit of Leighton Meester vibes, Rachel Bilson vibes, the girl who starred in The Girlfriend vibes on Amazon Prime. Like, she's just looking great and she's just true to who she is. She's not going to act like she likes you. If she doesn't like you, that's it. You're going to know and she's going to show it. Done. Like, I love Michaela's realness. And then Michaela being so incredibly vulnerable about what she's gone through and how it's affecting her marriage today is something we rarely see. We rarely see anyone expose that much about their past, just being so transparent. And I promise you, Michaela talking about what she's talked about is going to help millions of viewers around the world feel seen and validated and understood and inspired. And I'm so incredibly moved by Michaela. Love her down. So then, as I said a little while ago, we got Demi. Demi is not, you know, filming. Why? Because Demi demanded to be paid 3 times more than anyone else. And when she didn't get the salary she wanted, she left Mom Talk. Here's the thing. Demi went from being a quote-unquote fan favorite, which nobody ever said, but apparently she convinced herself that she was a fan favorite in season 1, to a villain in season 2, to a super villain in season 3. So if you're a villain in season 2, wouldn't you want to return for season 3 to do some PR, some much needed PR and repairing your image? Why would you say that you need to be paid 3 times as much money? Of course, that's going to come out and that's going to make us like you even less. Like, what has happened to Demi? How did she go from someone I like to someone I strongly dislike? And I seem to dislike more and more every single episode. What happened? So then, excuse me. Miranda's on the screen. Miranda has a man's voice and she gives us nothing. She gives us absolutely nothing. Like, she needs to be like, you could keep her in Mom Talk, but get her the fuck off the show. She brings nothing to the table. She's playing it safe. You could always tell when someone is very aware of the cameras, aware of their image, trying to project a certain look trying to get people to like them. There's no authenticity with this bitch at all. Like, she is a waste of footage. So, as we saw last season, Marciano says that he had sex with Jesse and they had an affair for a while, multiple times. You made it sound like they were just out in these streets sucking and fucking. So Layla goes into an SUV to tell, with all the GoPros, all the cameras set up in their faces, to tell Jesse that Marciano said that they had sex. Here's the thing. Shout out to Layla for keeping this secret until cameras were up her nostrils in season 3. I would have told my girl immediately, but she kept that secret to herself. Mad respect, Layla. So then Layla also tells Jesse that Marciano says that Jesse manipulated him. Okay. Should I talk about Marciano? Let me talk about this scene a little bit more before I give some updates on Marciano. So then Jesse was like, well, let's just call him. Or Layla says, let's call him right now. So then Layla calls Marciano and Layla tells Marciano that Jesse says that they didn't have sex. And Jesse says, if that's her prerogative to say that we didn't have sex. That's not how the word prerogative is supposed to be used, by the way. Obviously, that's her prerogative to say that we didn't have sex. No, that, like, I'm not gonna explain why that's not how to use the word, but let's be for serious, okay? So then Marciano says, I remember I took a Cialis, and I remember I had cum stains in my pants. Okay, how is it that someone goes from taking a pill to claiming that they had sex multiple times, insinuating that it was continuous and repeated, right? How do you go from taking a pill to waking up and saying, I was inside someone? How do you make that leap? You already know how you make that leap. You make that leap when you want camera time. You make that leap when you're clout chasing. You make that leap when you are an ugly loser. Okay? So then Jesse calls her husband Jordan, and Jordan tells her that they're done with the show if she brings cameras home. Because Jesse, thanks to Marciano, has to bring all of this on camera. Jesse says she's surprised that Marciano talked about this on camera. How sheltered and dumb are these bitches, both Jesse and Demi, to think a loser, greasy clout chaser, no lips having clout chaser like Marciano would not lie on camera for screen time? I don't understand how this just flew over their heads. So back to Marciano. There is an article that came out today on Us Weekly where Marciano says that he wishes that he only pursued Jesse. Keep in mind, Jesse is married. They said, like, which one do you wish that you prefer? And he's like, I still love Jesse. I have love for her. And I wish that I only pursued her. And then I think that was like the gist. And I think he said he doesn't know about his reality TV career in light of Demi's claim. So shout out to Demi. Keep this man off our screen. But it's like, why is he talking about wishing that he only pursued Jesse when Jesse is married? Oh my God, I cannot. Anyways, so we see that Jesse the next morning says that she cried herself to sleep. I just didn't know her skin was so bad. I'm like surprised she went on camera looking that way. She's beautiful. She's gorgeous. She actually looks better and younger without makeup, but her skin definitely did her no favors when she filmed the next morning. And she was talking to Jordan, and Jordan tells her that he feels broken and he didn't deserve the deceit. He starts tearing up. He says he doesn't know if he could live with that disrespect and emasculating feelings. And Jordan tells Jesse, I have to ask myself, are you still the person that I want to be with? So Jesse is regretful and disappointed in herself. She says that Jordan can get she tells Jordan that he could get comfort from his friends and family now, because now he could tell his friends and family about her affair. Okay, full stop. For Jesse to say that Jordan can get comfort from his friends and family is so incredibly selfless and big of her, because she knows that he's going to talk shit about her and his friends and family are going to side with him. So it's so big of her to basically say, I love you so much that I want you to get support at my expense. Jesse is just absolutely, she has a heart of gold. I really, really enjoy her so much. Okay, here's the thing. Because I am a whore, I don't know if she should use that word. If she says the word affair, she should say emotional. She should say emotional every single time she has an affair. Because when I think of an affair, I think about people sucking and fucking. As do most people. So specify it was an emotional affair. It was not an actual physical affair. Right? And it was for a few weeks. You were sexting for a few weeks and you kissed somebody twice. Bitch, that ain't an affair. I'm sorry. That was two kisses and some sex. And it's not even like you were sending nudes back and forth. I feel like affair is a very strong word to use here. And I don't know. I don't know. Anyways, I don't like it. Just to say emotional affair, please. Don't make yourself sound worse. So anyways, Jordan tells Dakota about the affair. I'm saying the word affair after I said that because that's the word that he used. And Dakota tells Jordan to pray and to pray with his heart. And Jordan can't stop saying that the affair was emasculating. So Jordan uses that word so many times. I understand it. I understand his perspective. I fully understand that an affair is emasculating. It makes it seem like you can satisfy your woman. But you also don't got to be tossing that word around so much. Like, put it to bed. Put it to rest. It's a strong word to be using, and it just kind of really insinuates like how like wrong it is for a woman to cheat, because what is the equivalent of quote unquote emasculating when a man cheats? You know what I mean? Like there's like sexist undertones there. So anyways, Jesse tells Macy and Michaela about her affair. She tells them that Jordan was emotionally abusive for a few years. And I'm really lost because, like, Jesse makes it sound like she kind of makes it sound like she's grateful for her affair, like, as far as, like, their relationship wasn't good. And why wasn't their relationship good? She has very young kids. Like, what was going on? It's like, was he abusive before her youngest child? And Jesse really seems like she wants out of this marriage, but then she wants to stay in the marriage. I'm very, very confused with the state of Jesse and Jordan's relationship. They have a Vile Files interview coming out on Wednesday, and Jesse gave an interview on the Not Skinny But Not Fat podcast on Friday, and I'm just really, really confused. But something Jesse said was like, it was like maybe like a 5-month span between her separating from her husband and finding Jordan. And we don't talk about rebounding enough. We really don't talk about it, because the reason why rebounds are so dangerous is you really need to understand if you're trying to replace someone, or if you're in love with someone and falling for someone that you should actually be with, or you're just like trying to swap in a substitute. Because that's what happened with Jesse. Jesse explains it. Her and Jordan moved extremely fast. It sounds like they were married within like a year. And it just all, it's like, it's kind of like Jordan had opportunistic vibes. Because the men in Montauk, they quit their jobs because they're like, the women, some of the men, they're like, our girls are making so much money. If you want to talk about emasculating, bitch, Jordan, go get a motherfucking job. Stop living off of your wife. Fuck that shit. So then Demi had her husband, Brett, drive past Jesse's house because Demi wanted intel, and Demi texted the girl, so you know now, in reference to the affair after she found out that the girls found out about Jesse's quote-unquote affair. Like, Demi is so unhinged. Demi is so unhinged, the bitch could seriously have her own show, but I need her away from cameras because I think she goes off the deep end more and more every single day since she got a little famous. So then Michaela and Macy, they're upset that Chase is at Layla's birthday party. Layla is only interested in dating Mason, Chase's brother, which is even all more the reason why she didn't need to invite Chase to her party. It was very disrespectful. She knows that her friends don't like him. And she didn't tell her friends, she didn't give her friends the heads up. It's a really bad look for Layla. I feel like this is really Layla's biggest thorn. Like, Layla has been, I don't know, she's been likable except for this. Like, unanimously, people are disgusted with Layla's behavior in this episode and how nonchalant and how innocent she was trying to act like she was, even though she brought Chase to her fucking party. So then Jordan walks out of Layla's birthday party. He's upset that Jesse and Layla are arguing. He feels that Jesse should be focused on him. He's a baby. Like, Jordan, have you guys noticed that Jordan's head is just like Stewie's from Family Guy? Like, Jordan's head is like 12 inches across and then it kind of like makes a little bit of a V shape, and he's just unattractive to me. Like, Jesse could do better. Like, Jesse is a baddie, she just doesn't know it. She just has really low self-esteem. So anyways, and then Michaela and Macy, they leave, and Dakota picks Jordan up after he fails on the party. And, you know, Jordan claims that he feels emotionally abandoned by his wife. Like, it's so funny. Like, if you have to turn to Dakota for emotional support, like, that is so sad. Because Dakota is, like, so stupid. But anyways, so that was episode one. Very explosive. We find out that Jesse did have something going on with Marciano. We find out that Marciano and Jesse did not have sex. He just took a Cialis and chose to run with creating this bullshit story for screen time. And we find out that Whitney has gone full diva. Demi has become more of a diva with her demands to want three times as much money. And we see that Jordan is quote-unquote emasculated. And Taylor is off to get mental health help for 2 weeks. And it lets us know we are in for some shit this season, right? That's why I'm able to binge the shit out of this show. And I'm rewatching it for these recaps. And I'm loving it. I'm loving it. Actually, yeah, maybe I won't rewatch the rest. Or maybe, well, I don't know, but I rewatched episode one so I could record this episode for y'all. It's Thanksgiving week, so I will see how productive, how many episodes I'll be putting out, but I will be recapping the entire season. Oh, and I didn't do that last. I didn't really recap any of season two, and I think I grouped together a bunch of episodes for season one in my recap, so I'm giving you one podcast episode per episode of The Real or The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. Thank you guys. I hope you're having a great week, and I will talk to you soon. Bye.
Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.